Is there a war coming in the Middle East? Are we headed toward a one-world government, a one-world religious system? Will America be attacked again? Do ancient prophetic texts warn of the time we are living in? Are we in the last days? The time of Jacob's trouble? The end of the world as we know it? And what are the increase of UFO sightings? While we may disagree as to what is causing the phenomena, we can agree that it is real, burgeoning, and not going away. Is this the coming great deception that ancient prophecy warns us about? Does time seem to be accelerating? Join me, your host, L.A. Marzulli, as we explore these and other riveting and stimulating topics. This is Acceleration Radio. And good evening to everyone. This is L.A. Marzulli, your intrepid host of Acceleration Radio, back yet again with another fun-filled episode. You know, we had a lot of feedback last week from Chris, Pastor Chris Ward. Tons of feedback, lots of email. You should go to the blog and check some stuff out. People have been talking about it, and I have not weighed in completely on my position, and I will be doing that perhaps tomorrow, perhaps one day next week, and we'll see where that goes. But I will tell you this in a nutshell. I am leaning extremely heavily towards the position that Nephilim hybrid cannot be saved. I disagree respectfully with Chris Ward. He's a wonderful man. I'll have him on my show till the second coming. That's not the issue. We just have a theological disagreement, and that's fine. I just don't believe they can be saved. Here's why in a nutshell, and I'll be writing more about this. I believe that Nephilim are, in fact, the soulless ones. Our guest tonight is Stan Deo, and I'm going to pose that question to him just to kind of keep things rolling along here. But, you know, I blog, folks, 6 days a week, and Monday when I got after the weekend, I'm always looking at news sites, always combing the internet, looking at stuff, and keeping a handle and an overview on what's going on. Monday morning, there was so much stuff, there was so many stories that it was like an overload. In fact, that was the title of the blog. If you haven't been there yet, you know, write this down: lamarzulli.wordpress.com. lamarzulli.wordpress.com. 6 days a week. Sunday is the Sunday Go to Meet and Bun, which is sort of like a internet church that we do, and it's fun. We got lots of comments there. We have about 3,000 to 4,000 people a day coming to the blog, and it's growing. Here's the deal. I mean, and what I did, there was so much to blog about that it was an overload. I mean, I could have spent the rest of the day and written like 50 or 60 articles. I'm just going to read you the headlines. In other words, just the sort of the headline that grabs your attention, just to give you an overview of what is going on this planet as we speak. Ready? Coming Middle East war, Mexican drug wars, North Korean nukes, Israel nukes, partial birth abortion, WikiLeaks, Vatican sex scandal, terrorism, suicide bomber blows up 58 people, Bernie Madoff's son hangs himself, Iran nukes, weird weather, UFOs sighted every 10 minutes, foreclosures at an all-time high, don't read WikiLeaks, bank failures over 151, Americans worse off now, last days, secret banking elite, New World Order, Kennedy assassination, swine flu, British students riot in the streets, hackers bring down government, missing radioactive material, Jerusalem, eternal capital of Israel, sand, snow, and thunderstorms in the Middle East, suicide bombers blast, Hezbollah, 1,800 missiles to Venezuela, Mexican drugs arrive by submarines, global warming, UFOs, volcano erupts, no more antibiotics, EMP bomb, embedded microchips, Paris Hilton, Prince William to get married, Iran conducts military drill, children hostages freed, global financial meltdown, end times, global hunger, 7.2 earthquakes, opium harvest in Afghanistan, states' rights, Iraq war, Obama all-time low, Federal Reserve, oil at $91, harvest body parts from abortions, implants, locust plagues in Australia. Our only hope is in his coming back. I mean, folks, if that doesn't blow your socks off, if that doesn't shake your world, if that doesn't wake you up, you're dead. You're dead already. I can't do anything for you. Turn off the radio and go watch, American Idol. It's not on tonight, but watch a rerun someplace. That's what you need to do. Just turn on American Idol and watch the stuff happen. or maybe Glee's got an old episode you can do, or Dancing with the Stars, or something. But you don't want to be listening to this, because this is going to wake you up. If you can't listen to that, those 50 or 60 titles that I just read off, and not sit there and go, oh my God, we're here, there's something wrong with you. There really is. I mean, do you realize how flipping off the hook crazy this place is right now? I have never seen it this tenuous. They're saying that 2010 is one of the weirdest years for weather. Oh, you really think so? GLA, I had no idea. Now, I blog about this stuff all the time, folks. Forgive me for getting, you know, hot under the collar, but, I mean, God, don't people get it? I mean, what does it take to wake up the church? The times we're living in. My gosh. I mean, what do you have to do? You know, in the Watchers DVD, Dr. Roger Lear at the end, we interviewed him for about 20 minutes. Actually, we interviewed him a lot longer than that. But you know, 20 minutes made it to the tape, to the show. And he has this wonderful little story that he tells. And he goes, you know, if a UFO landed on the 101, and the 101 and the 405 interchange is probably the most heavily traveled interchange in all the world, okay? And if a UFO, you know, crash landed, let's say, on the 101 someplace, near the 405, most commuters will be going, hey, look, how long before you get this thing out of here? I got to get home. I got a game to watch. I got to get home. What the heck? How long is this thing going to, where's the highway patrol when we need them? I mean, this is what we're dealing with here. And it's, you know, it's sort of tongue-in-cheek, and we both laugh at it, but, you know, that's where people are at. So many of us are totally asleep. Wake up, wake up, wake up. I mean, Mexico drug lords are trying to get the junk in here through flipping submarines. I mean, what planet am I on? What planet am I on? They're harvesting the body parts from the abortion mills. I mean, does anybody, it's just unconscionable. It's so beyond anything I can even, you can't write this stuff. You can't write this stuff. Just ridiculous. Oh, yeah, yeah. This is the best DV that's ever come across my desk in a long time, and I've seen just about everything. Bob Ulrich, Prophecy of the News. Dear LA, just wanted to let you know I watched your Watchers DV, and it's great. Everyone needs to see this. Well, to begin with, it is one, if not, the best video documentary I have ever seen. That's from Dirk Vanderplug, and he's the editor of UFO Digest. Hello! Talking about Watchers DVD, folks. Christmas is a-coming. This makes a great DVD. We're actually, we're almost sold out. We're actually getting more burned. We'll have them ready. I go on Coast to Coast next Wednesday, right after my show here. I get an hour break, and then I'm on live with George Norrie, December 22nd, Coast to Coast. We will be talking about the DVD, Watchers DVD. We will also be talking about UFOs in general, the alien gospel, the coming great deception, and a whole host of other wonderful topics. I think my good friend and co-producer of a Watchers DVD, Richard Shaw, will also be in that first hour. Yesterday, folks, I turned 60 years old. And if you haven't been to the blog site, you need to know this. Richard Shaw has Photoshop and way too much time on his hands. And he did this. I'm always saying, I'll shave my head and become a Buddhist. I'll shave my head and become a Buddhist. Those of you who listen to the show know I'm always ranting about that. Well, so he said, after I said that one time, he sends me this Photoshop picture of, you know, me in the Dalai Lama robes with the sun behind my head, the whole deal, and there I am. So we call it the Zooli Lama. Anyway, yesterday was my birthday. I turned 60 years old. It's hard to believe. We grow too soon old and too late smart. If you haven't been to the blog site, again, lamarzulli.wordpress.com, Texas UFO observed 100 feet over Santa Ana. You know, folks, those pesky UFOs just keep showing up. L.A., I just try to tell everyone about this is nothing more than swamp gas reflecting off a weather balloon that's stuck in a flock of birds being mistaken for the planet Venus. That's all it is, L.A. You're just so over the top with this stuff, and you just have to stop it. There's no such thing as UFOs. Well, my good friend, Texas UFO observed 100 feet over Santa Ana. Folks, are you aware that every 10 minutes someone sees one of these things? Hello? Every 10 minutes, a UFO is reported. Let me go through the Middle East meltdown, which is going to happen sooner than later. Palestinians to Mitchell, He's our shuttle diplomacy guy over there. U.S. must demand talks based on the 1967 borders. In other words, the Palestinians are trying to get back Jerusalem. It's not going to happen. Netanyahu stated over the weekend, we will not give up an inch of Jerusalem. So we're at an impasse again. Gee, big surprise there. I really thought they were going to get together, didn't you, L.A.? It just, you know, we just need peace and love between all these people. Meanwhile, in Pakistan, a woman who apparently, get this, apparently said something, which she denies she ever said, but two people who were Muslim went against her and said she said this. She said something that blasphemes Islam. She's going to get the death sentence. So much for freedom of speech, you see. You see where it goes, folks? You see where it goes? Freedom of speech has to be freedom of speech, even if you don't like it. You have to be able to say what you want to be able to say without fear of someone blowing your head off or cutting your head off in this case. Christian's death verdict spurs holy row in Pakistan. So they're all, we have to kill this lady. She blasphemed Islam. Kill her quick. There's no love and forgiveness there, folks. There's only the law. You know, I read somewhere this week that this guy somehow, there was a lover's quarrel thing, and the guy put out one of the guy's eyes. And so he's guilty of his punishment. And in the Islamic law, eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, that's exactly what they're going to do to him. His punishment is they're going to pour acid in his eyes. I mean, do you realize how crazy this is? I mean, where am I? And if this is it, I beam me off the planet now. It's just ridiculous. Snowstorm snarls Mideast. Is U.S. facing another extreme winter? Well, I thought Al Gore was always talking about that global warming, L.A. Global warming, it's all getting just a little too hot here. No problem. You know, we're just global warming. That's what it is. It's baloney. Hello? You know, where's my button when I need one? U.S. facing another extreme winter. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. These morons who go to try to tell us about global warming. Fossil fuels, you know, they got to put catalytic converters on every single car here in L.A. because we've got fumes upon fumes, and it's like, you know, don't smoke outside because the secondhand smoke is killing a million people. Excuse me, how about the trillions of dollars we're in debt? If we don't fix the budget, who cares whether you smoke or you die? Not going to mean anything. Wake up! And the Ruskies are deciding to search for Sodom and Gomorrah in Jordan. That's interesting. And then, of course, the Russia exchange with China will swap rubles, sidestepping the U.S. dollar. Gee, isn't that interesting? Folks, it's coming down. I mean, it really is coming down. I'm not a date setter. I don't know when, but I have never seen it this tenuous. I think I say that every week. It just gets, it's not getting any better. If it's getting any better, someone please write me and tell me where I'm going wrong here. I mean, is it getting any better? I opened up the show this evening with the 50 or 60 headlines. Does that mean anything? I mean, is anybody out there? Want to get on the show tonight? Let me see. What number do you call? I got to scroll down here and get it. Want to get on the show tonight with our special guest, Stan Dale? Give us a shout, 800-596-8191. That number again in both places, El Monte and Al Monte, the Flying Monte Brothers, 800-596-8191. One more time, 800-596-8191. Don't be shy. Or email me at la@lamarzulli.net, la@lamarzulli.net. Hey, folks, if you haven't checked it out, go to the Christmas store. We got all sorts of goodies there. Star of Bethlehem DVD, which is always fascinating this time of year. And I've seen that over and over and over again. I will be talking about that December 22nd on George Norrie's show. It should be fun because it really talks about what the star was. It wasn't a giant UFO like our good friend Benjamin Krem it claims to be. So that's one of the DVDs that we sell, of course, the Watchers DVD. All my books are there. And there's some wonderful other goodies to check out. So if you can, go to the store. It really helps. This ministry here, lamarzulli.net, lamarzulli.net, lamarzulli.net. If you've got anyone who's a skeptic, I had a gentleman email me and goes, you know, LA, what do I do here to wake up people? I said, look, you know, most people won't read books. They just don't. But if you hand them a DVD, they will watch it. And what's cool about a DVD is 10 people can watch it at the same time. And that's what we're seeing, that people are buying it, and then the whole family sits down and watches this thing. And I would recommend that a child, it's definitely 18 years and older. I mean, this is not, the material is not suitable for, in my opinion, anyone under 18 years of age. And I really mean that with all due, with all sincerity. 18 years and older. It's the viewer content is extremely disturbing because it deals with issues that are extremely disturbing. The cattle mutilation stuff is alarming. The alien implants, there's a shot of a Dr. Roger Lear removing the implants, so you're in a surgical theater. I mean, it's hardball stuff. It's definitely for adults, so 18 and older. But, you know, that's, I told him, I said, you know, buy a couple of these DVDs and give them out. Give one to your pastor. Wake him up. You know, wake him up. Hey, Merry Christmas, check this out. Because this whole point of Watchers is to wake people up, to get them dialoguing. My wife's family got it. They don't read, you know, they read my books, but I mean, most of them don't, and they're not into this UFO stuff, not like I am. You know, it's, you know what I mean? So it's Thanksgiving, and we sent them a DVD, and my wife's side of the family, about 15 people in the room sat down and watched this thing. Guess what? It stimulated conversation. Oh my gosh, yes, people were actually talking to one another. So, I mean, it was great. It stimulated everyone there, lots of dialogue, and that's the whole point of a DVD. It gets people thinking and talking, and that's what we're trying to do with this thing, folks. So, lamarzulli.net, go check it out, and we're selling these things like hotcakes. I think I'm going to be on Prophecy and News in January. They'll be flying me back to Oklahoma City, and I'll be doing a show there about the Watchers DVD, and also Bob Ulrich told me that their magazine, Prophecy and News magazine, which goes out to about 15,000 people every month, he wrote a review on Watchers DVD, and as he said, let me read this again to you. This is the best DVD that's come across my desk in a long time, and I've seen just about everything. Bob Ulrich, Prophecy and News. So how cool is that? Anyway, folks, let's move on. Producer Frank, you have not. I'm presuming that Stan is with us. Is that correct? Is he here? Can I start my intro? Frank, save us, Frank, save us. Oh, good, thank you. He writes, you are correct, L.A. Stan Deo was held above top secret security clearance and worked undercover for the FBI. He was part of an exclusive black project headed by Dr. Edward Teller, specializing in the development of flying saucer technology. Stan's diverse background encompasses computer programmer of mainframes in seven languages, PC and Macintosh, senior systems analyst, research physicist, marine architect, advanced propulsion engineer for marine aircraft and spacecraft, author of 2 books and 6 scientific papers, partner in Deo Enterprises, amateur archaeologist, TV documentary television host for several shows on Tesla. Born in Clifton, Texas, and it goes on and on, okay? Just the list, I could spend the rest of the... Anyway, born in Clifton, Texas to a family of American pioneers, Stan spent his first 2 years in nearby Valley Mills with his grandparents until his father returned from the Middle East, a U.S. Army Air Force base commander in World War II. Valley Mills is just 7 miles from Crawford, home to President Bush's ranch. Stan spent most of his youth in Dallas, where he was a member of the National Honor Society, captain of the rifle team, lieutenant colonel in the ROTC, recipient of the Sons of America Revolution Medal, and honored as one of the 2 most outstanding math students. Graduating high school just 3 months after his 16th birthday, Stan was awarded a partial engineering scholarship to the University of Texas and also was given a full congressional appointment to the U.S. Air Force Academy at Colorado Springs. But upon returning to Dallas from U.S. Air Force, Stan trained in computer programming at IBM. Shortly thereafter, he formed his own Mission Impossible team, solving extremely sensitive, difficult corporate computing problems. Stan's main love is still advanced propulsion and free energy research, which took him to Australia in 71 to work on these systems as part of a global project under the direction of such men as Dr. Edward Teller and Dr. Andre Sakharov. Stan Deo, it is an honor and a pleasure to have you here, sir. Welcome to Acceleration Radio.
I do have the pleasure of talking to the 60-year-old L.A. Marzulli.
And counting.
How about that?
Oh, that's great. That's great.
How things?
Things are good. Played some golf yesterday, shot a 76. and took the wifey out. We had a nice dinner, just the two of us, and back at it today, and here we are. Things are good. How about yourself?
Oh, yeah. I'm, doing the husbandly things here, hooking up lights and stuff. I've been experimenting with some new LED Christmas tree lights and doing the business and, calling all the kids and grandkids and stuff. And,
wow.
Oh, that gets to be a chore. I've got, 13 of them now, 13 grandchildren. So
woo.
When you get to be my age, L.A., young fella.
Yeah, that's me, Mr. Youngster, and I'm proud of it, doggone it. Hey, we already got a question. Let me get right into this. L.A., in Genesis 1, 6 to 8, God separates water water from water with sky. Do you think that there is literal translation? If it is, that would seem to be a perfect biosphere. Tracy, you got any answers on that one?
I don't know that I do. I'm just trying to read that question again.
God separates water from the sky. Do you think that this is a literal translation? If it is, that would seem to be a perfect biosphere. You know how the whole people were saying it? Water comes up from the ground. There was like a mantle that covered the earth before the flood.
Yeah. I do think that something similar to that did happen, whether it was like solid water or whether it was like water vapor in a canopy.
Mm-hmm.
But something before the flood protected humans and animals and plants from the ultraviolet radiation coming from the sun, so they didn't age as quickly. So certainly after the flood, two things tell you that there was probably a canopy there, and one of them was that God says to Noah, I put my bow in the sky, my rainbow.
Right.
And that you don't have that until you have a break in the heavens, if there were a canopy, so that the light can shine through clouds. And then project the prismatic separation of the light into a rainbow. And then secondly, after the flood, immediately the lifespan of humans dropped down from 800-900 years down to 120 years or so or less.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I'm pretty sure, due to the ultraviolet penetration occurring at that time. But anyway, yeah, I do think it would have been a very nice biosphere, and it would have probably been such temperature-wise that you could run around a fig leaf and it wouldn't bother you temperature-wise.
There you go.
I haven't had my second cup of coffee yet, but I'm getting there.
That leads me to an interesting question. You know, we were just talking in Genesis. Let's pop over to Revelation, where it talks about that in the latter days, the end times, men will seek death but not be able to find it. And there was an interesting article that I'm going to blog about soon, but talking about that the scientists have discovered the genes which they believe they're able to stop the aging in mice. And when I was with Dr. Roger Lear, we were discussing the whole implant thing and phenomena. And I asked him, point blank, are these tracking devices? And he just laughed and said, no, they could be, but he doesn't think they are, nor do I. But I wanted to get his take on it. He believes that these implants, so-called implants from extraterrestrials, i.e. demonic, in our opinion, fallen angels, masquerading as such, are changing the person's DNA. What if, let me get your take on this, what if that not only is it changing the DNA, but we're told from Yeshua, Jesus himself, in the days of Noah, so will be when the Son of Man returns, and one of the differentiations of those days, of course, were the prolonged years of life. Isn't it interesting? They will seek death and not find it, Book of Revelation, chip, which we have. I mean, this isn't science fiction. We've got the chips. I mean, I've held them in my hand at Dr. Roger Lear's lab. We've got it on video, the operation, the chip being removed. So this stuff is real. Nanotechnology, the metallurgy, the composite of the metal that makes this thing, off-world stuff, stuff found in meteorites, whatever. What's your take on that? Do you think it's possible that the Mark of the Beast, let's say, this is in my new book, but the Mark of the Beast might be a twofer, in other words, not only will it buy, sell, and trade, but it will extend your life 400 or 500 years?
I don't know that it will extend your life much, because they do say in the Revelation that the people that get the mark will have sores break out on them.
Right. Right.
And I think that'll probably be due to the exotic metal in the chips. And I don't know whether every person that gets the chip or ID mark will suffer the same fate, but it doesn't sound to me like it's going to prolong your life if you're going to break out and sores all over your body in reaction to the chip being implanted. as far as nanotechnology, I'm convinced that it will be able to do a number of things to extend our lives. When the millennium comes, I mean, a guy will be young at the age of 100 years.
Right.
So we know that they're planning, that God is planning to have long life for the dwellers on the planet at that time. When I was, 1969, somewhere in there, I had an accident. I was out hunting with a friend of mine, and I took a bullet in the right leg.
Mm.
And it went in behind my knee and cut the popliteal artery, and it was a little bit interesting. I thought I was going to lose the leg. So anyway, my friend Jim was with me, rushed me over to the local hospital there outside of Dallas in Mesquite. And it's a small little hospital, you know, one story, and two doctors owned it, local doctors in a small town there. And so I went in. I knew the doctors and the Perung brothers, and one of them was treating me there on the table in the emergency room, and he says, "Oh, gee," and he says, "I don't know whether we can keep the leg. We'll try," he says, "and I don't know whether I'm going to operate and take the bullet out or not, because it fragmented and broke when it went into your body." And I said, "Well, that's nice." And we joked and laughed a bit, and then he said, "Well, look, we're going to just leave everything like it is, put a Band-Aid over it, put you in bed, and in the morning we'll see what has happened. It'll tell me whether we're going to operate." So I said, "Fine." So, you know, they put me into the hospital room, and everybody left, and lights down the hallway dimmed as visiting hours were over. And this nurse appeared in the doorway, and I was laying on my back because it was painful anyway to turn. But I saw her, and she came in, and she says, "I have some medicine to put on you here. Can you just roll over and let me pull your shirt up?" So I said, "Fine." I rolled over my stomach, and she helped me get my shirt up. And then she started rubbing this salve or this balm or something into my back.
Huh.
And I thought, boy, that feels good. That's really incredible. And I said to her, "Boy, I'll give you 100 years to stop that. Ha ha." And she didn't say anything. So I turned to look at her, and she wasn't there. And I looked for the medicine. It wasn't there.
Whoa.
And I thought, wow. So I went to sleep. And next morning, Dr. Perung came in and had his attending nurse and everybody there with his little chart. And he says, "Okay, let's have a look at this." "Wow," he said. "What did you do during the night? This is really healing up."
Huh.
And I said, "Well, it was that, you know, that fancy nurse you sent in with a kind of, I don't know, European accent, you know, that little redheaded." He said, "What nurse?" And I said, "Well, you know, the one that put the salve on my back from that, you know, that." He said, "Just a minute." He called the duty nurse out in the hallway, went right out there, got her in here. He said, "Was there anybody down this hallway last night at all? Were you on duty?" And she said, "Yeah, there was no one here after visiting hours. No one. Do we have any nurses on staff? Redhead, blah, blah, blah." "No, none." And he said, "Well, I don't know who it was," he said, "but whatever they did, it's certainly healing your body." Well, they just left a bullet in there and the fragments, and the leg healed, and, you know, no surgery, nothing, and I was fine. To this day, I believe what happened was that there was an angel sent there.
Yeah.
Something that was like nanotechnology that rubbed right through my skin and went to work in the body.
Wow.
Because it just, it floored the doctor to see what had happened overnight.
Hmm.
Weird, hey.
Wonderful stuff. We got to take a break. That's a great story. Really great story. I hope you have that written down someplace. Hey, folks,
no.
You should write that one down. That's a great one. I may have to use that in this month's news mag. You're listening to Acceleration Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, Stan Deo is our guest. I'm your host, L.A. Marzulli. We'll be back on the other side of the break. Thanks for listening, folks. Don't go away.
What an expert says about distilled water. If you decide on bottled water, make sure it's distilled. However, in the long run, You'll save money if you clean your water at home. It's more convenient than hauling gallon jugs from the store. The gold standard for purifying your water is a system that distills your water and filters it. You have the comfort of knowing there is no chlorine, fluoride, bacteria, viruses, pesticides, or lead. You get nothing but H2O. Maximum Health. Dr. Robert D. Willicks, Jr., M.D. Order your tabletop water distiller for $139.99 postpaid. It comes with everything you need to get pure distilled water. Go to superstore.theamericanvoice.com. That's superstore.theamericanvoice.com. Order now.
You there. Yeah, you. The one listening to the American Voice Radio Network. I know where you have been. I saw where you went out in the woods that day while you were hiding your food and ammo. I know where you go every day. I'm the government, and I'm here to protect you. Thanks to your GPS-enabled cell phone and the GPS devices we planted on your vehicles without a warrant, we can track and trace your every move. We are so glad you didn't buy a GPS jammer from thesignaljammer.com because you would have blinded us. And when the day came to round you up and steal your hidden goodies, we'd have to search high and low for you. So take my advice. Don't buy any GPS jammers and don't even think about buying any cell phone jammers from thesignaljammer.com because we want to know where you are.
Can your family survive a food shortage lasting 2 weeks, 6 months, or maybe longer? Sound far-fetched? We live in precarious times. There is an ever-increasing possibility of food shortages caused by terrorist attacks, natural disasters, truck strikes, or monetary collapse. You owe it to yourself and family to prepare, and you can by getting a supply of our long-storing, freeze-dried, and dehydrated foods. Our foods are time-tested to store for decades, require a minimum of time and energy to prepare while maintaining superior nutritional value, freshness, and taste. Our foods were designed for the space program and are in constant use today by our own nuclear submarine service. Contact the Freeze Dry Guy today at freezedryguy@landset.com. That's freezedryguy@landset.com or call 530-265-8333, 530-265-8333, and let them know you heard it on American Voice Radio.
Thanks for hanging with us. We're number two right now. Mike Savage, number one. Marzulli, number two. Celebration Radio, Mark Levin, number three. Bachelor 4, Laura Ingram, Comedy 104, Rusty Humphries, Dennis Miller. Thank you for listening, folks. And according to producer Frank, everyone who is listening on a computer, that counts as one vote. So there's a bunch of you out there that's listening, and we certainly appreciate you, just supporting what we do here. Thank you so much for tuning in to Acceleration Radio. We've got another question. Here we go. Listen to this one, Stan. What will be the trigger that will lead to the coming Great Deception and the return of the Nephilim? That's from Chris. Chris, thanks for listening. Any ideas on that one, Stan?
Hear me, Lynn?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Sorry, I didn't get to hear the question. I was Frank and I were messing with my sound here, so okay. Please repeat that.
No problem. Producer Frank is always trying to get us the best sound possible. Our hat is off to him, and a round of applause from the audience out there his way. What will be the trigger that will lead to the coming Great Deception and the return of the Nephilim? What will be the sign? Is it going to happen overnight without warning? It's a good question. So what are your thoughts there?
Well, I think that it will, it's not without warning. We've seen a lot of people trying to bring the UFO question to the forefront and force the government to come clean, and not only the American government, but governments all over the world. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This has been the lead up, I think, to get the masses interested in the fact that it's being hidden from us and they want to know the truth. But then coupled with that, we've been seeing various crisis curves fall upon us, like the weather, the climate hitting food production, diseases that are, you know, becoming pandemic, the economy, the failure of the U.S. dollar, and hence the coming collapse of the U.S. economy and the world economy. This will all happen rather suddenly over a few days, weeks perhaps. During that time, people are going to be crying out like they're doing in Greece and Rome. They're actually rioting, and I think unions are probably behind that. But still, they're being violent, saying, you know, we want our share of the pie, in essence. We don't want to pay, like in England, we don't want to pay six times what we used to for tuition, so we're going to, you know, destroy the buildings on the campus and things like that. Well, all this is going to come to a head very shortly, and I think that it's within months, not years. When this gets to a point where people, just the average person, think, I can't feed my family because food is too expensive or just not available, and you know, the threat of nuclear war is scaring me to death, I don't want my children or myself to die, when people are crying out for someone to solve the problem, this is when the alien card, the quote-unquote alien card, I think will be played. So I would think that 2011 is going to be a very interesting year for this kind of stuff to develop. And certainly I do believe we will see a V-type scenario, like the TV series V and the movie V, where there will be large craft that are so large that they obviously, you know, in quotes, obviously couldn't be made here on Earth, or they're beyond our technology, which is not true. But still, this will impress even the engineers and physicists who have been saying all along, UFOs don't exist. You know, this you're a bunch of nutcases. They couldn't be that big, you know, half mile to mile in diameter, because they'd fall apart from their own weight. And when this happens suddenly, I think that that suddenly will be like just appearing overnight over major cities in the world. And I think people will start to pay attention then and be looking for the leader of this expedition, or whatever it's going to be called, to meet with some world leader who will rise up. I don't think he's in power yet, and I certainly don't think it's Obama. There's a lot of evidence growing. I correspond with a number of my friends over in Israel, and there's a guy there in Israel that I've been watching for, gosh, 20 years, watching his development, his career. He's just a year younger than me, but I'm writing a paper to put on the website to talk about this guy, because even his name is Assyrian. Even though he's born a Jew, he hates the Torah, the Bible, the Quran, everything. He's against all this religious stuff, right? He says that in private parties where my friends have attended with him, but he's advised prime ministers like Shimon Peres and stuff. And so, yeah, I'm watching that guy. His name is Nimrod Novik. And that
No way. Are you kidding me?
No, look up on the internet. N-I-M, sorry,
Nimrod Novik.
O-D, and then Novik, N-O-V, either I-K or I-C-K. He spelled it both ways in the press over the last 20 years.
You got to be kidding me.
This guy controls, he's the senior vice president of the Merhav Corporate Group of Companies, which control billions of dollars worth of control of water in the Middle East, energy supplies, you know, gas and oil, communications, TV, like Channel 10 there in Israel, they own controlling interest in that. And this guy and his boss, which is his friend, Maimon, he was former Mossad, and they still have connections inside Mossad, so they have a tremendous intelligence network. They were working water deals in Turkey, in South America for energy. This guy, I mean, you know, he's a nice older guy, you know, but if you get to know him, he's really quite cranky and pedantic in the way he wants things to go, and it has nothing to do with being faithful or religious or Orthodox Jew or Christian or anything. So Nimrod Novik, I talked about it in the Vindicator Scrolls when I first discovered him in 89, and did translations of the name and portions of the name. And Nimrod Novik, in it are the things about the one who rebelled, you know, from the Genesis story, and one who entwines, like the vines, or, you know, the strands of a grapevine, how it entwines into everything and just, you know, grabs everything and grabs it together to itself. And, you know, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But he was one of the, in fact, he is still the head of the group, the organization that drafted the Oslo Peace Accords for the 7-year treaty. Wow. Does that ring a bell?
Wow, absolutely. That's unbelievable. I had no idea.
Yeah, and it's the more information I get on some of his skullduggery, you know, the background workings that have been going on, and how one guy was killed over it, and
I'm actually looking at his picture on Google. Let me ask you something. How common is Nimrod as a name in the Middle East?
Not terribly common in Israel.
That's kind of what I would figure. I mean,
a lot of people said that the references in the Old Testament to the Antichrist calling him the Assyrian.
I know, exactly. That's why I about fell out of the chair. I mean, his name is Nimrod. Hello. And, you know, the whole Syrian connection there, that's really interesting.
Nimrod was, of course, before the Assyrian Empire, but
right.
Just before. And they even named a town Nimrod there in ancient Assyria, which is part of, you know, Assyria primarily. Mm-hmm. And so the name is carried forth into the Assyrian Empire, but he predated that, you know, Nimrod.
But Nimrod also is in the days of Noah. How interesting is that? I mean, you know, it's in the days of Noah, so be when the Son of Man returns.
No, I hadn't put that part together, but yes.
Yeah, I mean, Nimrod was Tower of Babel. Here we go. And that's I'm going to dig some more into that. That's really, really interesting.
Oh, wow. Look, I'm finding so much stuff at the moment that I'm having to rechange my outline of this article to go up on the website, you know, over and over again. Well, I better add this, but I better put it here before that. And,
right.
You know, he trained and got his doctorate in the United States. He's part of the American Israel Corporation. I forget what the proper name of it, is. But, you know, the guy's just got so many flags on him that it's just unbelievable.
Yeah. Wow.
Anyway, you know, and he was born a Jew, so he's turned against the God of his fathers.
There you go. God of fortresses. Let me ask you something. What do you think about this WikiLeaks UFO disclosure? You know, they were threatening, Assange was threatening last week that if I'm in jail, I'm going to release this stuff. There's a lot of sensitive UFO material, and of course, you know, nothing's happened this week, and it's Wednesday already. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think he's got anything?
He might, and if he doesn't, they may have given it to him anyway. I reckon this guy was set up, whether he knows it or not, to begin this grassroots unsealing of the secrets of the UFO or alien presence, that kind of stuff, and so that it comes from the grassroots. The people will follow a grassroots swell, you know, a grassroots hero, rather than some politician saying, well, okay, I'll tell you the truth now. That won't work. Mm-hmm. So people have got to feel that they have a hero amongst them, and I think either he or someone like him is going to be brought forward to force the announcement, and that'll be their task, and then they'll kind of fade into obscurity, and then the world leader will come on the scene to organize the planet into a global one world government.
What amazes me about this stuff, you know, Stan, you and I have conversed like once, I think, a decade ago, and then recently we were on another show, I think it was a roundtable discussion with Doug Riggs, where he had both of us on. And it was amazing. I mean, there's been no collusion. It's not like, you know, we call each other once a week and, hey, what's going on? But we both come to the same conclusions, and that just blows me away. You know, the whole idea of this, you know, mile wide, 2 mile wide, whatever it is, like the television show V you're talking about, and the trigger will be some sort of an event where the world is desperately seeking a savior of some sort. And,
right.
You know, it's just amazing how we both come to the same conclusions. You know, I know we're onto something, and that's because our worldview is a biblical worldview, and we search and study the scriptures, and this is what we see coming down. I mean, I just find that it's very sobering to me, extremely sobering. And in some ways, it's comforting.
I had noticed that that same thing, not only you, but myself and two or three other people that are in the field are coming out with similar viewpoints on this.
Mm-hmm.
I have been kind of sad that Hal Lindsey and Jack Benambi and some of those didn't kind of pick up the thing and go with it. I've been talking to Hal and his producer over years, you know, trying to say, look, let's do something, let's talk about this on air. And for one reason or another, you know, Hal didn't do it. And Jack Van Empe's called and talked to me a couple of times, but they haven't done either. I think it's because they're afraid.
Yeah, they're all afraid.
To come out and say this because it would, you know, make them look like idiots or something. And so it's up to you and I and people like us to reveal it.
With all due respect to Hal, I guess about a month ago, he had a couple of series on UFOs, which was amazing. I mean, he actually did about a 10-minute segment, and then followed up a week later with another 10-minute segment on his show.
I saw that.
Yeah, about UFOs. And it was, it could have come right out of my book or your book. I mean, the material was, it certainly wasn't cutting edge, but he at least was talking about it and getting the information out there. So, what I'm starting to notice is that the church is starting to get a little, like even a year ago, it was like, but this year, 2010, I was invited. I spoke basically someplace once a month for the most part, but three different churches in the course of a year invited me to speak, and that for me was a first. You know, for the most part, the churches don't want anything to do with it. It's people holding conferences or whatever. Prophecy and the News has had me on there a bunch of times, but I mean, so there's like hope there that it looks like something is, the church is beginning to awaken a little bit. I mean, at least that's what it looks like, you know, from my limited perspective, which is good because the church needs to wake up. And, you know, guys like Missler, Lindsay, and Van Impe certainly are well respected in their fields. I mean, you know, I'm sort of a B player. I don't have a television show, and they don't have the renown like Missler or Hal Lindsay has, certainly. But you know, I mean, like you say, at least, you know, your ministry, mine, and guys like Tom Horn and a newcomer to the field, Dante Forston, he's been on this show. You know, different people, Jim Williamson, and I mean, I'm just go on for another 10 minutes, but, you know, Rob Skiba. I mean, a lot of people now are starting, really trying to get the word out, and that's important.
I don't mean to actually say anything negative about Hal or Jim, because Holly and I support both of them with considerable, you know, tithing, but I do have to laugh occasionally because they won't say anything, but, like, both of them have come up and changed their viewpoints on this, the 10 Nation Consortium being the European Union and the Revival are being that. They finally come around to what was on page 200 of the Cosmic Conspiracy that I wrote. There are 10 regions for the entire Earth.
That's right.
And they're now starting to say, and Jack was, you know, Jack, I give him credit. He said, you know, I've had to rethink this. But as you say, it's starting to finally break out and come to the forefront. But yet, Australia, where I started this in 1978, the churches down there, in 1 year alone, I was invited and did go to 120 churches and give lectures in 1 year.
Wow.
I mean, they were on fire down there about this in 1978. And I'm getting letters from the children of the people I used to talk to now. I said, Dad gave me this old copy of your book and told me about this, or I heard the recordings of the meetings. 100,000 copies of tapes, at least, have been spread from the lectures there throughout, well, Australia and the rest of the world. So Australia has a grassroots, believe it or not, that are switched on. In America, I hope it switches on real quick because things are going to get real tense shortly.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think we're, you know, things are ramping up. They're accelerating, hence the name of the program. We have a question from Tracy in Patu, I think, Oklahoma. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, but hopefully it's right. She writes, L.A., or he, Tracy, could be either one. This is for both of you. What is your take on Planet X that is supposed to be coming through in the next couple of years? Could this be the cause of the volcanoes, earthquakes, etc.? Great question, Tracy. Thanks for listening to Acceleration Radio. Stan, what do you think about that?
Okay. I don't think at this juncture, if the Planet X situation is correct and it's real and close, that it's close enough to cause the earthquakes and volcano increases. However, there are increases in these things, and I think it's due to the expansion of the Earth. It's blowing up a little bit bigger like a balloon and stretching. I think that's why a lot of the sinkholes are appearing as the crust of the Earth starts to separate and form voids where things fall into it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm preparing a paper, you know, in my spare time here, explaining how gravity really works and why there are stars and planets and moons that have shells and voids inside, like partially hollow. Now, Planet X, I'm talking about that in my paper too, and I've developed, discovered a formula that I will publish in that, which shows how to predict exactly where a planet can orbit around our star. And there are about six orbits that aren't occupied at the moment, but it tells you exactly this is, you know, so many Earth radii from the sun, blah, 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 blah. And so I took it out all the way to the Oort cloud, which is 1,000 times further from the sun than we are. And at 250 times the distance of the Earth from the sun, I found an orbit, and I started calculating if a planet was there, what its orbit would look like and what the length of it would be. And within 10 years of 3,600 years, there's a planet. And it tilted at an angle of, I think, somewhere between 23 and 28 degrees to the equator of the sun. And if it is coming, it would be inside the orbit of Jupiter now, maybe even by Mars. And it might be up out of sight, up, you know, like not in the ecliptic, but tilted slightly. And when it approaches the sun and goes around, it is going like a rocket. It is going several times faster than the Earth in its orbit, and it will only take maybe 10 years for it to make its traverse in and out near the sun, and then go back out to the colder reaches out there, you know, 250 times the distance of the Earth. And now people have said to me that, all right, did you see Zechariah Sitchin's work on translating it about the Anunnaki who lived on the planet X?
Right, Nibiru and all that.
I thought, gee, this is dumb. I said, look, how can a race live on a planet and have, you know, food and technology, and it goes out there 100 years from now, it's out there way out in the furthest point, and it's cold, it's frozen. And when I started doing this paper on, you know, putting all the gravity stuff together and the formulas and doing the animation showing how gravity waves form everything, suddenly I realized planets, most every planet, has a hollow void in it, and it comes through the polar regions in a spinning vortex. That means, like on Earth, if there is a very dense core that's hot, and a void between that and the bottom side of the outer shell of the Earth, that people could live inside a planet, like Planet X, way the heck out there. If the core of the planet's hot enough and bright enough to be an internal sun, they wouldn't have any problem. They wouldn't see stars, but they would be inside of a nice, warm, and lit inside of a ball. And they could live out there, and they could have a technology. And if they're that far ahead of us, hey, it could work. So whether they are, you know, fallen ones, whether they are whatever, I mean, it can possibly work. And for the first time now, I'm starting to lean toward two very radical theories. One is the Planet X existence, and two, that you can have hollow planets. And I've been getting photographs, images from NASA and from European Space Agency of the poles of various moons and planets in our system. And I am finding the patterns at the poles that form there exactly like my theory predicts. So I know that we're on the right track there.
And, of course, this would also tie into the whole secret Antarctica base, allegedly, that the Nazis fled to at the end of World War II. The stuff of UFO legend, but nonetheless, it's there. What we got 30. Producer Frank just said 30 seconds. We'll come back with the Nazi UFO question on the Southern Pole. Whoo, boy, all an right. Hour's already gone, Stan. We're gonna have to you back again. Stimulating conversation, right. Hey, folks. You are listening to Stan Dale. I'm your intrepid host, L.A. Marzulli. This is Acceleration Radio, and we will pick this up at the other side of the break. There it is. There's the music, so I'm okay. Hey, folks, thanks so much for listening. We'll see you in a little bit. We'll be right back.
Americans for Immigration Control is a leading national organization dedicated to reasonable levels of legal immigration and effective enforcement to stop illegal immigration. With more than 250,000 members and supporters nationwide, we are an effective voice for immigration reform. AIC stands up in Washington for the views of most Americans on immigration. We are the leaders in stopping recent legislation to reward 10 million or more illegal aliens with legal status and eventual citizenship. The late Georgia Congressman Charlie Norwood had this to say about us: AIC has earned a reputation among members of Congress as one of the most active and responsive advocacy groups in the field of immigration. Join AIC today. For more information, go to our website, immigrationcontrol.com. That's immigrationcontrol.com, or call 540-468-2023. That's 540-468-2023.
I got held up in the briars, and that's when I looked up and saw it. And it made no noise. The trees didn't move, or the leaves blew away. Ricky Sorrell, Stephen to the Lights. I went into sort of a shock tailspin as I realized that the abductions were real. I said to myself, "Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God," repeatedly for about 6 months. Dr. David Jacobs. They always communicated to me telepathically. An idea would come into my mind to go out and take pictures, or they would have me start drawing symbols, which was some type of language I had no knowledge of. They called it light language. The Alien Interviews is a hard-hitting exposé conducted with 17 people who have had direct contact with the so-called extraterrestrial presence. The Alien Interviews is now available in paperback for only $10. Get informed, as UFOs are real, burgeoning, and not going away. Go to lamarzulli.net. That's lamarzulli.net. And pick up your copy of The Alien Interviews, www.lamarzulli.net.
What makes deep sea salt from France so different? Up from the ocean depths in the south of France flow undersea rivers of pristine sea water. At high tide, the prepared salt ponds are filled with this water. Over spring and summer, processed only by ocean breezes and sunshine, the brine thickens and salt crystals float to the top. These are harvested with nets and deposited on wooden drainage flats to dry. The salt is then gathered up, packaged, and shipped around the world. This salt is much more than a box of lifeless sodium chloride. Soldiers worth their salt were once paid with this valuable commodity. It contains 78 to 84 balancing elements. This is living salt, and once you have tasted it, you will never go back to anything else. I've seen this salt in gourmet shops for $30 a pound. Get it now at 4spectrum.us for under $8 a pound. Order 10 pounds and enter the coupon code AVRSALT at checkout and save $20. Ships free to your door or call 800-581-8906. Order today.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Into it deep in an hour. We are now number one by a good margin here, folks. Thanks so much for supporting this radio show, Acceleration Radio. Really appreciate it, guys. Stan, right before the break, we were talking about a cheerful subject, escape Nazis inhabiting the South Pole Antarctica UFO question, Hollow Earth theory. My good friend Jim Williamson has written extensively about this. He believes, like I do, that there is a hollow earth. What are your thoughts on that?
It's hard to explain without showing the animations, but the space is not empty. There's a very dense fluid out there, and it's if you look at a glass of water, let's say, and you sprinkle some pepper grains in it from your salt shaker or pepper there, mm-hmm. and you stir this glass of water, you will see a vortex form, you know, down the middle of it, down toward the bottom of the glass. And you will see, if you watch it slow up, the little black dots are orbiting around that vortex at various distances. They get closer and closer to the center, and then the black pieces of pepper drop to the bottom of the glass and form a little mound in the center at the bottom of the glass, instead of falling out to the outside like you think they would. If you also look closely at this spinning vortex, you'll see that the tip of it, as it slows down, oscillates or vibrates, goes up and down, up and down. So there's a process in the spin of a vortex that allows it to expand and contract, expand and contract. And I think the reason we can't see the holes in the poles right now is that we've gone through several periods of where the poles have opened up a bit, like the vortex in the glass of water, and then close, open and close. And through the polar regions of every planet and star and galaxy and moon that I've been able to get images of, this happens. And the spinning wave is like a vortex. It goes in through the poles, north and south, and they meet each other, and they flatten out, and they form like almost like a perfect shell of the outer mantle. And that might be a few hundred miles deep. But when we do earthquake analysis of the earthquake waves, you see that the waves bounce off at a certain depth down inside the Earth, and they assume, they just call it a discontinuity. They don't know why the wave becomes discontinuous at that point, but it reflects off of something down there. And that's because there's a void, like an airspace. And I'm firmly convinced that we have that in our planet, and that we have a core that is very warm, very hot, and it produces light and warmth for the inside of the planet, which could very well house beings. There can be several layers of this. There can be more than just an outer shell and then a core inside that. I'm pretty sure that you can have multiple voids in, say, like Saturn or Jupiter, the big gas planets. But that still remains to be discussed. But yeah, I do think that we have a hollow Earth, like a void inside, not completely hollow, but a void. And I'm often reminded of, when I think about these things and work on the paper, about the statement that the angel came down and opened up a doorway to a pit, you know, in Revelation, to the bottomless pit. He opened it up so that the nasties down there, the millions of them, could come out and afflict the people on the earth. Well, he's opening up the doorway to a bottomless pit, which is the inside of a sphere, isn't it? I mean, there's no bottom inside, really. If you look at it just as a, you know, a hollow shell, or, you know, like to the point where you have the hot core. But anyway, I really think that we've got a lot more to learn about the structure of space and planets, and I'm definitely not going to say that we don't have a hollow planet. I think it is extremely possible and most probable because of the evidence we're finding elsewhere in the solar system close at hand.
You know, what's interesting about that is the Pyrrhus map, which many people believe is the real deal, shows the continent of Antarctica before it's frozen over. Now, I mean, I'm just traveling here. What if, you know, okay, that's let's say shortly after the flood, let's say. You know, what if God decided to seal up or create the pit? I mean, I'm just traveling here. What if that area was created, or what if that, exactly what you're talking about, what if that actually is the pit and it's been sealed up with, how thick is the ice there? Well over a mile? I mean, you're not going to dig your way out of that. I mean, that's huge. I mean,
another thing too, if you look at, you know, the geologic records that say that we've had a polar reversal, at least of the magnetic field, every 10,000 years or so. And if you remember what I was saying about the glass of water with the tip of that vortex in the middle of the glass, mm-hmm. going up and down, it's periodic at different places. the holes on the planet Earth may normally open up and let the heat inside come out, which would then, of course, melt the ice on Antarctica and make the sea ice melt up in the North Pole and would raise the water levels, which we've seen, and then close up again as part of the normal oscillation.
Wow.
If that oscillation has been stopped and locked off now by God, well, okay, it's still a prison for whoever's down there, but
yeah, exactly,
not being locked up. It would oscillate back and forth, opening the poles, heating the poles, then closing, and then cooling. And every doggone planet in the solar system has cool poles and then warm poles. They periodically change. And I think that from what we can determine in the short period of time we've been out in space, that the normal thing is to have heating and cooling of the poles. Think about it. I mean, why is it that the poles of every planet, no matter what its attitude to the sun is in its orbit, are cold, are colder than the rest of the planet,
right,
until they start to warm up, like in Saturn at the moment. So, and ours, we're getting polar warming too. But the Earth is expanding. What's his name over in London? H.G. Owen. Is that right? Owen, I think it was his paper. He wrote a very, very detailed paper on how the Earth has expanded at least 20, maybe 25% since the early days when there was like water and land on a small globe, you know, one landmass, a Gondwana land or
right,
you know, whatever.
Right.
And there's a guy, Neil, the cartoon illustrator that did Superman and a number of the other things, he has animations on his website which show putting the continents of the Earth back together in real time as they scoot back together again and pull apart. You can see how everything's pulled apart. He did it on the moon and found the same patterns on the moon where the moon had expanded. He did it on Titan, the moon, you know, of Jupiter or Saturn there, and showed how the ice crust had even been ripped apart as it expanded. And, you know, it's just, I marvel at what I'm finding here. It's just so many pieces of evidence showing that we don't know what we think we know about gravity, the nature of planets, now the works in the universe. And so when people say it can't be this or it can't be that, I say, oh, yeah, okay, that's good. Well, it can't be until it is, so, yeah. You've got to keep an open mind in these times.
Absolutely.
Because we're just finding out so much more. We don't know anything. We just don't know anything.
You know, in the book I'm working on, which should be out next year, The Cosmic Chess Match, there's a section in it where I speculate and say, look, you know, geologists different people in academia will look at this, the theory, the idea that all the continents may have formed very, very quickly, and they'll just sort of poo-poo it because, well, that can't happen. And yet we go to the area where Mount St. Helens blew, and take those same geologists and go, well, when did this valley happen? Oh, you know, thousands, ten thousands, hundreds of thousands of years. No, it didn't. It happened in a week, you know. And that's, I mean, we don't know what we're looking at. And that's why I find the Bible just to be so amazing, because it says in the days of Peleg, the, you know, the continents, everything was one mass, and all of a sudden everything, the earth split apart. I mean, we don't know what we're looking at, and we don't realize how quickly some of this stuff may have happened. And, you know, it's like, I find it just incredibly interesting that Antarctica and the Nazis were totally into this stuff, and this is where they believed. And the same thing happening in Tibet, where this whole idea of those beings living, ascended masters literally living inside the earth. So we hear this over and over and over again, and I think that there's a lot of truth to it. I want to move off this topic actually, before I do that, one question. What do you think about Emanuel Velikovsky's theories? Because he, in some ways, was a pioneer, and he actually talked about some of the dynamics that we're discussing here tonight.
Well, I think Velikovsky definitely was right on track. There may have been some things that he interpreted incorrectly. I don't know. But Venus moving in, lightning shooting between planets, hey, I have no problem with that, because we live in an electrical universe. And I quote and refer to Velikovsky quite frequently in my lectures and stuff, because I think, you know, really, from a Jewish Christian point of view, he was
quite a reliable source to start all this. He's not quite like von Daniken, who went to the secular world, but Velikovsky, yes, I have a lot of time for him. His research is well worth reading and thinking about, because from the old sources he got it from, it does tell you that things are not as stable out there as we thought.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I have a question here from Bob, which ties into the hollow earth thing, and we'll see where we go from here. But Bob in Arizona, Bob, thanks so much for listening to Celebration Radio. Appreciate it. Bob writes, LA and Stan, have you ever heard of Dr. Virgil Armstrong from Sedona, Arizona? His hollow earth theory mirrors what you are stating right now. Also, why can I never find any pictures of our North and South Pole from space? Great questions. God bless you both, and Merry Christmas, Bob in Arizona. Stan?
You know, I don't know why we can't find pictures. I've seen a number of satellite images over the pole, and they all, for some reason, they have this little black circle where they've blipped it out. And when you question them on it, they say, well, that's just the range of the camera in the orbit, so we couldn't quite see it. Huh. However, our satellites that have gone over, you know, Saturn, Jupiter, Neptune, Mars, they have gone over their poles, and we see pictures of what's happening there. Even on Mars, on the Mars North ice shelf up there on the North Pole of Mars, there are spiral arms coming out like a vortex. It's frozen.
Wow.
Why they don't do it here on Earth? I guess because they let the cat out of the bag, but we can do it. There's no mechanical reason why we can't image the pole, you know, and unless it's just for, you know, security reasons to keep intelligence away from people. But no, I think, you know, the Germans, a lot of them disappeared during World War II at the close of it and went to South America. Some, I think, went to the South Pole. I know when I was with Teller's group, Dr. Maxwell was telling me that he'd been under the pole with Teller down the south. He'd been to a base down there by submarine. So, you know, it's, to me, I wasn't there, but I saw the pictures of him pouring champagne on the submarine. So I have to assume he was telling me the truth.
Interesting stuff. Let me move on here. This is a question from Richard. Rich, thanks again for listening to Acceleration Radio. We are still number one, and thanks, guys, for making us that. First of all, he has a statement. Stan, thank you for you and your ministry and all of your research. I greatly appreciate all of you and Holly do. I read your website daily, and I thoroughly enjoyed your book. You got a fan there. Question, Stan, what are your thoughts about a fake alien invasion caused by the global elite occurring prior to a true fallen angel revealing? Ay, ay, ay. Double Indemnity. What are your thoughts there, Stan?
Well, I think that's the way it's going to happen, because Satan has notoriously tried to preempt the signs or prophetic signs that God has promised. You know, Satan reads the Bible too.
Absolutely.
Has read and reads whatever. And he knows that we are expecting a Messiah. We are expecting bad guys to come and first pose as Messiah and be the bad guy. So what he's going to do, I think, is engineer, which he's been doing since the early 50s, bad UFO abductions and harmful things to people, and people are scared, you know, that have been involved in it. Others are doubtful and skeptical that it's ever happened, but still, that negativity about them is there, and I think we will see the quote-unquote good aliens of Satan appear and get rid of the bad dudes that have been causing all the cattle mutilations and the abductions and stuff, and say, well, we've cleared them out, just like the good book says, we've cleared out the bad guys, and we're here now to help you. Hmm. And people will believe it who don't understand that one particular passage in the verse in Matthew where Jesus says, if they say to you he is here in the desert or in this secret place when he comes, don't believe it's me, because when I come, it'll be like a lightning going from the east to west across the horizon. All eyes, everything will see me. You won't have to go to a secret place to see me. And that one line is the thing that's going to separate the imposter and the imposter program from the real Messiah and his arrival. So it is a very good question. And tell that guy that Holly gets up at 4:30 every morning except Saturday and works on the news, on the websites for us and for Steve Quayle, and she's a real trooper. She spends that time at 4:30 gathering news all over the world for people so they know as soon as possible what's happening.
Yeah, I'm not at 4:30. I'm usually closer to 5:30, but I do the same thing. I spend about an hour just combing all the different sites, checking out what's going on, and then posting it. We've got two questions which will tie in together. This is really interesting. This is from Sam and Alice. Thanks, guys, for listening. Really appreciate all your support, and hope that that footage is being spliced together and cleaned up. And Sam, you know what I'm talking about. He writes, "Hi, LA, enjoying the show with Stan. Could you and he spend a few minutes talking about how both of your families are dealing with personal preparedness for shortages in supplies? Belated birthday wishes." Thank you, Sam. And hold that thought, so it's personal. You know, what are we doing for the coming, whatever's coming? And listen to this. "LA, great to hear you and Stan together. Another killer show." Thank you, Frank. "Ask Stan this question. I live off the grid with two big solar arrays and some generators. I have about $2,000 and want to spend it on different form of power. I can't use water or wind. I live in northern Idaho." Well, that's pretty cool stuff. Those questions really tie in together. Your thoughts there, Stan?
Well, if he's already got solar power, that's good. I don't have it yet because I couldn't justify the cost. I mean, it was like $40,000 or something. I just couldn't afford to do that myself. But I did get generators, a couple of them, and diesel, because the gasoline generators wear out quicker, parts wear out. And the diesel fuel keeps longer, like 15 to 20 years instead of like 6 to 7 months like normal gasoline does. So you can store large amounts of diesel without too much worry because it doesn't combust easily like gasoline does. So that would be my first thought, would be to get some diesel and diesel generator, and I'd lock up some spare diodes and spare parts in case we have an EMP pulse from the sun or from nuclear weapons detonation. But I don't know that we're going to be here as believers quite that long, so I'm assuming that people who are writing these are Christian believers, these questions you've just read.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
and I would say that I wish I could tell you an easy way to get an alternate energy source for $2,000. I am, when I get spare time, which is very seldom, still working on trying to extract high voltage electricity from a tuned electrostatic array out back of the house here. I tried to file a patent on it. I did file the patent application, and the government said this couldn't possibly work and didn't give it any chance and denied the patent, yet they turned around and made the patent application available online to the public, which you're not supposed to do.
Huh.
So, anyway.
Wow. How do I spell conspiracy?
Oh, look, I'm never going to file another patent. I had a couple more in line to go, and when that happened, I just quit because it leaks like a sieve, and you can't make a business out of something where you can't guarantee your shareholders that you're going to have intellectual property. It's not going to be stolen by the Chinese or whoever else they're giving it to these days. So anyway, I would like to be able to steer people to a cheaper way, other than a little 500-watt wind generator. And that only works in certain areas of the world and country, you know, efficiently. I don't know of any other way to use $2,000 like that to make power. And again, it depends on how much power you want, you know, how frugal you're going to be with your living. And I think batteries are good, the deep charge batteries and inverters to pull the power off of that to make electricity are good. It's how you charge those batteries that's the problem. Theoretically, you could get on a bicycle with a little generator on it, and you could sit and pedal to your heart's content and charge up your batteries without sun or wind or anything. So that might be one approach to charge your battery ray that way. What are you guys doing to prepare, Lynn, at your place for food and things like that?
Well, you know, we've got about 4 to 6 months worth of food. We've got, you know, we're in Southern California here, so we've got a good growing season. But, you know, what scares me is the same stuff that scares you, the whole EMP deal. And we're back in the Stone Age. You know, I mean, that's it. It's like handsaws and, axes and hammer and nail stuff. So the light life as we know it completely shuts down instantly. We've got a good reserve of propane. We have no solar, no wind generators. We are on well water. So between the propane and again, the well water is all electric right now. I will probably invest in a hand pump fairly soon. If push came to shove and all the grid completely goes down, The well is shallow enough. It's one is about 100 feet. The other one's 200 feet, where you could, in a pinch, you know, start pumping up water or even bucketing it. And we also have a seasonal creek. But, you know, I mean, I don't know what we're looking at. You know, none of us really do. I mean, obviously, we keep hearing about EMPs. I mean, even Newt Gingrich is talking about an EMP. And the missile, and it was a missile, in my opinion, that was came over California several weeks ago. It was a missile, period.
It was. Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind. Yeah, I mean, you could even see the spot on the tail end of it.
Yep. Shot across our bow, and we were asleep at the wheel. So I also think that there's some validity to the cruise ship, a possible EMP test nuke over that cruise ship, because everything went out. What the manufacturers of that ship didn't understand was why the other three generators went out. They shouldn't have gone out. They're all those, there's four generators, two in the bow, two in the stern. They all work independently of each other, okay, to provide the ship with electricity. The whole purpose of that is one generator goes out, the other three are still going. For some reason, all four generators stopped? You know,
interesting. Did any of the other equipment or other electronics fail and get zapped or anything?
I've still been trying. I get mixed reports on that. I have not really vetted it. Some people are saying that the cell phones didn't work. They were fried. Other people are saying that they did work. So I don't know what we're looking at. Interesting stuff. We've got a caller from, I guess that's Roz from California. Roz, welcome to Acceleration Radio.
Hi, Lynn. How are you?
I'm good. Oh, Roz. Okay. There you go.
Is that Kristen?
It's me. I've talked to you both before, and Stan's been on Preparing for Battle. I'm trying to get him on here in a couple weeks here, but I have a question for both of you. I had Larry Taylor on the show a couple weeks ago with Lynn, and I think just between all three of us, we've been discussing the Ernst Moldashev sketches. Stan, do you know about him, and what do you think about his sketches?
I don't know about him. Explain. What are your sketches about?
Well, maybe Lynn can help me out with this. I think that they're actual sketches of beings. I want to say giant beings. Is that right, Lynn?
Who are we talking about? I missed that. You were saying...
We're talking about Ernst Moldashev.
That's the one that Larry Taylor was talking about?
Yes. I thought maybe Stan might have known about that.
I don't know by that name. How do you spell it? M O what?
It's M U L D A S H E V S.
Okay.
You can't really. I don't read Russian, so his books are all in Russian, and I believe that these guys are. I believe what he's seeing here are their actual giants. In caves or something, they're bound by copper or something, I want to say, but you can't get close to them because you'll I mean it would explode you. I mean you would explode supposedly. I don't know too.
I know Steve Quayle mentioned something about that. They were in a cave in an island in the Pacific, I think.
Solomon Islands, yeah.
Yeah, he incorporated that in the book, The Long Walkers, Return of the Nephilim.
Right.
And about the copper and how you can contain them with that, but how their psychic powers, even though they're in a stasis state at the moment, that their mental powers are such that when you got too close, your brain fried or something. And I don't know what to make of that. I've never been able to get anything concrete that I liked about it. The fact that he was kind of associated with Madame Blavatsky kind of worries me.
Yeah, that's always a red flag. Listen, we're down to about 15 seconds. You've been listening to Acceleration Radio. Our guest tonight, Stan Deo. Roz, great question. I got a little story I'll share with you about the caves at the other side of the break. Still number one, folks. Don't know how, but Mike Savage is catching up. He's close. We'll see what happens. Thanks for listening to Acceleration Radio. I'm your intrepid host, L.A. Marzulli. We've got another half an hour to go. You want to get on the show tonight, shoot us an email. I think I don't even have the phone number here in front of me. Or, give me an email at la@lamarzulli.net or give us a shout. You guys know the number by now. We'll see you at the other side of the break, folks. ¶¶
Can your family survive a food shortage lasting 2 weeks, 6 months, or maybe longer? Sound far-fetched? We live in precarious times. There is an ever-increasing possibility of food shortages caused by terrorist attacks, natural disasters, truck strikes, or monetary collapse. You owe it to yourself and family to prepare, and you can by getting a supply of our long-storing, freeze-dried, and dehydrated foods. Our foods are time-tested to store for decades, require a minimum of time and energy to prepare while maintaining superior nutritional value, freshness, and taste. Our foods were designed for the space program and are in constant use today by our own nuclear submarine service. Contact the Freeze Dry Guy today at freezedryguy@landset.com. That's freezedryguy@landset.com or call 530-265-8333. 530-265-8333 and let them know you heard it on American Voice Radio.
Here's what an expert says about distilled water. If you decide on bottled water, make sure it's distilled. However, in the long run, you'll save money if you clean your water at home. It's more convenient than hauling gallon jugs from the store. The gold standard for purifying your water is a system that distills your water and filters it. You have the comfort of knowing there is no chlorine, fluoride, bacteria, viruses, pesticides, or lead. You get nothing but H2O. Maximum Health. Dr. Robert D. Willicks Jr., M.D. Order your tabletop water distiller for $139.99 postpaid. It comes with everything you need to get pure distilled water. Go to superstore.theamericanvoice.com. That's superstore.theamericanvoice.com. Order now.
Whether using your cell phone for business or staying in touch with family, your cell phone use is increasing. Use the Wave Shield, developed for ultimate cellular protection. The Wave Shield blocks, reduces, and deflects up to 97% of the radiation from entering the soft tissue of your ear. The Wave Shield, made of a patented mesh material, is proven and tested to block radiation without affecting reception. Order your Wave Shield today for only $19.95.
Did he just say $19.95? Hey, times are tough, so American Voice Radio Network is cutting the price to $17.95. That's right, $17.95 plus mailing. You can protect yourself, family, and friends from cell phone danger to your inner ear. $17.95 at theamericanvoice.com. That's the superstore at theamericanvoice.com. $17.95 plus mailing. Order now.
An hour left of Acceleration Radio, our guest tonight, Stan Deo, and we are having a good time here. I got a quick little story, Stan. A while back, I received a series of emails from a gentleman, I believe, somewhere in the Southwest, Colorado, Arizona. He had access to a ranch, a very large ranch. On the ranch were caves. In the caves, they found golden tablets, etchings, and giants, literally giants. And it's just I pressed for more information and didn't get it, and the guy sort of went dark on me. I never heard from him again. I was really trying to get down there, trying to get permission from him or arrange something to go into the cave and look, but that's when it fell off. So the whole story could have been a canard. Don't know, but it was interesting. And he actually has photographs of the plates and the writing and the stuff that was apparently taken from this area. Definitely weird. All that could have been fabricated. We both know that. But hard to vet these stories. Very, very difficult to vet the stories. We've got a ton of questions in the queue. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, Lynn. I'd heard from a couple of sources about caves being found in the Grand Canyon, and some of the river that feeds into it.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to reach it by land now that the water's been allowed in there, so that you have to go by water or by boat or even by, diving gear to get to them. Hmm. But I've heard in more than one place from people directly that have had information on that. But that's not Colorado. It could be, I suppose, be Colorado or Utah or Arizona, somewhere, but in this region.
Somewhere in that area, right.
Yeah, I've heard more than one person, and saying, well, my uncle or my, friend was there or was writing, and one of the guys that I was talking to was a former TV star, Clint Walker, and was writing a book on this, and he'd been researching the stories about the caves and the giants down there as well. So, anyway, you got other questions. What questions have you got?
Yeah, it's just I'm trying to do two things at once, and of course I can't. Sending out emails and talking to you and looking at the next question. Hold on, let me get to one. Here we go. Chris, this is from Richard Terry, and I've been saving this sort of for this last half hour. We sort of opened up a can of worms here on the show last week. We had Pastor Chris Ward in, and he's just a great guy, I've never met him, but the type of a guy I just think I'd have a instant bond and a friendship with. And he's an exorcist. I've been looking and researching and discussing the Nephilim for as long as I have, and perhaps longer, closer to where you are. But he believes that Nephilim hybrids are here on Earth. Let's start there. In other words, he believed that there is a breeding program. And when you and I were on Doug Griggs' show, we talked about this and kicked the can around for a bit. But he believes that the breeding program is real, as we do. But he goes one step further. He believes that Nephilim hybrids today can be saved. In other words, they can cry out for salvation. And, I hadn't done enough research on it, so I was sort of mute last week and didn't really counter it. But since then, I don't agree with them. I think that they are, in fact, the soulless ones. And I'm going to put out a paper here in the next week or two, and maybe in my news mag, maybe on the blog, maybe both. We'll see, talking about it. But what are your thoughts concerning the hybrids can be saved?
Well, I don't think they can. I do believe that among us here in the living population on the planet of humans, or apparently humans, that there are people who don't have souls, or beings that don't have souls. Mm-hmm. They may not know it, but I do think that the crossbreeding has occurred. It did before the flood, and if it's going to be like it was in Noah's time, then we're going to see that they've crossbred into our population. And when you take into account that millions of people have been abducted, and I guess a lot of them have been used for breeding experiments or cultures or whatever, that yes, they do exist, and that the salvation, I think, would not be an issue with them. When they die, they will be ceased to exist, or certainly not be saved anyway. So I've often wondered about that, how many people around us are going to continue in the life to come, or whether they just blink out and are gone when they die or something. Mm-hmm. Those giants in the caves you're talking about, the Paiute Indians in Nevada fought them, 10,000-15,000 years ago. They had legends about it, and the Horseshoe Cave in Nevada someplace, in Lovelock, I think it was. It was only about 40 by 60 foot inside of it, and they reckon that's where these red-headed giants lived, and they had rafts to get away, like reed rafts to get away from the Paiutes when they came to kill them, and
wow,
they like to eat people. And I would think that those kind of beings are, they're either a Nephilim or certainly Nephilim hybrids. And I expect to see them, among us here, whether they know it or not. These crossbred beings, I think they'll be tall, maybe on the red-haired side, I don't know. But, I do think that they're here and will be here, and I don't think that they can be saved.
Have you seen Madness in the Fast Lane yet, by any chance?
No, is it a movie?
Yeah, I'm actually typing it on our chat. If you go to YouTube and then Google, or just type in Madness in the Fast Lane, it will come
right
up. Type in
right.
Yeah, Madness.
What's it?
Well, what's unbelievable about it is there are these two women, and they're identical twins, okay? And
yeah.
And here's the thumbnail sketch. We're either looking at, in my opinion, Nephilim hybrids or ritually abused satanic ritual abuse victims. But they're in the UK. They're identical twins. They're walking in a dividing line of a freeway system somewhere in the UK. Okay.
Right.
And it's like eight, four lanes in one way, four lanes the other way. Cars are doing 60, 70 miles an hour or faster. Well, everything is on camera there. They have cameras everywhere. So they're picked up by the facilities with the cameras, and they dispatch the UK's version of a highway patrol to check these two women out. When the highway patrol stops and tries to get these women, they literally run into oncoming traffic and are hit by the cars. Okay, so now we've got, now we've got an accident. So the police immediately call for an ambulance. Medics come. In the meantime, they get out, stop all the traffic. They go over to the women. The women are laying on the asphalt. They've been hit by cars doing 60, 70 miles an hour. The women are sort of still. All of a sudden, the women get up and start fighting the police. Start fighting the
right.
police.
Right. I'm seeing the video as you're talking now.
Yeah. It gets worse. I mean, when I watched that, my jaw was on the ground. It's here. It's not coming. It's here already. And Madness in the Fast Lane, in my opinion, we're either looking at hybrids, or we're looking at demonically enhanced humans from satanically ritual abused backgrounds, MK Ultra, that type of thing. It's just unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable.
I know. And trying to explain this to people that haven't got a clue, at the moment, they'll think we're the one with the madness. I mean, it's just it's sad, but these things are going to come so suddenly and become more widespread that people will, I think they'll just kind of shut off. They'll freak because they won't understand. They just can't believe what they're seeing around them.
Yeah, this is why when I speak and when I talk in different shows, I'm always pointing people to this video because it's important. It's another smoking gun. It's like watching Dr. Roger Lear take out an implant, and the guy, says he was abducted. So what, are we not going to believe the witness now? We've got the implant. We've got what the witness says. Here's the scoop mark. Here's the implant. I mean, hello? What does it take before people will go, it's not delusion, it's real? It's just mind-numbing to me that we're in the times we are in. I truly believe that this breeding program is vigorous, and it's reached its zenith, that at some point in time, I think they've already started manifesting. And that's like you just pointed out, Stan. It's like when this thing happens, people will be just overwhelmed. They won't know how to deal with this stuff. We got another question here from James in British Columbia. James, first of all, thank you so much for listening to Acceleration Radio. We've slipped to the number two spot, but we're literally neck and neck with Michael Savage. Not such a bad place to be. And here's the question.
That's good.
Yeah. Here's the question. Are we going to see another Dalton minimum effect as in the 1870s? That's when I'm not sure what that was. Was that the volcano that did that, or was that it was sort of the mini ice age? I think he's talking about.
Is he talking about the Maunder minimum?
I think so.
The
1600? Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's when the Thames River froze over, and for several years they held markets and bazaars out on the river. Is that the one?
I believe so. 1870. That sound about right.
No, it was before that. It was in
Late
1800s for this. What happened in the 1870s?
He calls it Dalton minimum effect. A Dalton minimum effect. I've never heard of that term, so.
I have. I'm just trying to remember about it. But I was aware of the Maunder minimum, which was, when sunspot activity was at its absolute just minimum, almost flatline for a number of years, decades, and the temperatures on the planet really got severe. Mm-hmm. And I would assume that the Dalton minimum
is similar.
Do with that. Yeah. I mean, it was in a low solar activity period. I think it followed. Here it is. Maunder minimum went from about 1650 to 1700, about 50 years. Then the sunspot activity picked up, and then in 1800 to 1825 or so, we have the Dalton minimum, which was not as low as the Maunder minimum. But again, that was due to low solar activity, which we've seen a bit of now.
Whoops.
Which is, hold on just a second here.
Live radio, folks, you got to love it.
Hear me?
Yep, you're good.
Sorry, I dropped my phone. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're fine.
Yeah, I just dropped the phone. But anyway, I don't know that we're going to see a continued minimum now like it was then. I think we're going to see some severe coronal mass ejections and heating from the sun, mainly because prophecy says that the sun will become hot and people will want to hide in caves and under rocks from the heat. And even the Hopi Indians that Holly and I visited with down in Arizona have told us that they're expecting a period of several weeks where the sun will be so hot, you know, that they'll have to hide underground in their mud kivas to survive for several weeks. And for the sun to be hot enough to burn a third of the trees and the grass, as you know, the Revelation tells us, I think the sun's going to get busy. So I don't think we're going to be, looking at another minimum for some time. There have been several minimums, but they're all relative. Maunder was the worst, and then, you know, there was the Dalton, and then, you know, before the Maunder was the Spore, and then before that was the Wolf and the Oort. But, you know, you're going back 1,000 years and so, but none of them have been spent as a Maunder minimum.
Huh. Interesting stuff. Interesting stuff. Just unbelievable. Let me ask you something. We're sort of coming down to the, or coming up to the top of the hour here, I should say.
All right.
Where do you think this is all headed?
The weather, the politics, what?
Everything we've discussed, politics, prophecy, the supernatural, the weather, I mean, all, everything that we're looking at, just the global situation, the monetary situation, UFO disclosure, the weird weather stuff, earthquakes, volcanoes, floods, tsunamis, you know, Nibiru, signs in the sky, biblical prophecies, where do you think all this is headed?
I could be flip and say the answer is 42. From Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah.
However, let me say that I think that all of this is heading toward a massive crescendo, a peak in human affairs, and the beginning of the 7 years of tribulation spoken of in the Bible. I firmly believe that we're approaching that point, which is a point where Earth humans will either survive or they won't, and those that survive will be the ones that side with the creator and sustainer of all that we know. With God, with the Elohim, and with our Messiah, who is in the Hebrew terms, he's our doorway to the Elohim.
Yeah, it just, without him, there is no hope. I mean, that is our blessed hope, and without his second coming, this place is nuts. One more question here from Tracy. He's already written once before, but he has another question for us. LA, awesome show, keeps getting better and better. Thank you, Tracy, appreciate it. Have you or Stan ever heard of Admiral Byrd? If so, how credible is the diary of Admiral Byrd in reference to the Hollow Earth theory? Stan?
Well, yeah, I've heard of him, and I've heard of the diary, and I've read what allegedly was in the diary. There are some problems with the diary as far as technical evidence that he was writing the diary in his plane. He was writing it saying, and he saw this and that, and at the time that he would have allegedly been there, he was on another mission to the South Pole, by record, and secondly, he was there saying that it was daylight, he could see stuff, where it was not in the daylight period for the North Pole, because, you know, it's like months at a time, dark
sure.
and cold,
sure.
and light. So I'm not sure that I can put full trust in that, but it does not mean that I disagree with the concept that there is a an entrance to the inside of the earth that opens up periodically there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting reading, but I'm still kind of hold my doubts about the authenticity of the diary.
You know, but and that certainly begs the question. I mean, why would someone, why would someone create this thing? And of course, the diary came out posthumously, so there's no way to really vet it. No one sat down with Byrd, but I mean, there are the whole story of he dispatches this military force, and they go, and they get beaten very badly, and he goes into this place and he meets beings and the whole saucer technology and all this stuff. It's like it makes a great It's a great yarn, but I don't know. I wish there was a way to vet some of this stuff, like, you know, like the meetings with Eisenhower and Churchill, supposedly, that was at the UK papers released several months ago, you know, talking about, well, yeah, there were UFOs in World War II, and Churchill and Ike got together and decided to put the kibosh on the thing because they didn't want to freak out the people. Well, you know, how do I vet that story? Both guys are dead, and everybody else pretty much who was involved in the story is dead. So, you know,
well, I mean, it's that way. It was many things. How are we ever going to prove it? And now then the things can be faked so readily with Photoshop and computers. And, you know, in the end, you believe what you're going to believe, what you want to believe. And that's dangerous. But, you know, you can probably take apart most proofs of anything, you know, if you're clever enough, like an attorney or something. Mm-hmm, but
sure.
Like you, I try to investigate these things and look for chinks in the armor in the presentation. Like if it's a, you know, a fictional thing meant to be fact, looking at the wording, looking at the type of type used, the paper, if you can get that, you know, the phraseology, you know, anything that will give you a clue. And certainly I've done that with a large number of photographs of giants and giant bones that people have sent me saying, look what they've found.
Right.
And of course you put it into Photoshop and analyze it. Well, it's just a fake.
Right.
And then I'll track it back to the university where they were actually done in some classroom where the graphics majors were told to do an assignment, and this was part of their assignment to fool people with it, you know? So it's disheartening because, you know, there's so much trash out there that you could spend, waste a lot of time, I think, looking into it. And I keep getting back to the most important thing is that we have salvation and that we will get these answers when the Messiah, our true King, comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to stay on his good side. And Holly and I pray every day that we're found worthy, you know, to be taken to be in that rapture when it comes, and certainly to be under his protection and to be able to work in the new world to come, to rebuild this place and do it properly, where things work in harmony. And, you know,
funny, it is a rebuilding. People never want to talk about that. It's I think part of the 1,000 years, if not the whole 1,000 years, is, guess what, folks? Yeah, he could wave a magic wand, but, you know, who screwed this place up to begin with? Guess what? Clean up your toys, kids. You know, I mean, I'll help you out here. And, you know, you got some, I think, Will, those of us who come back with him, I don't, you know, we're in heavenly bodies. We can do all sorts of neat stuff. So it may be, hey, Stan, you know, go down to Southern Colorado and, you know, help restore the planet. I mean, who knows? I mean, we got to do something here. So,
well, you know, Lynn, the thing is that a lot of people have ideas even now on how to fix planet Earth. But the problem is they are not the architect of this planet. And the architect has the blueprint and knows how everything should work together. We have to have the original architect here. And you've seen, at least I've seen in the miracles in the Genesis and Exodus account, I've seen where God uses things that were put in place in the natural world to bring about miracles because of the timing and placing of these things. But he never violates the rules of physics he set. Even healings are done in a way that they fit within the normal framework of the physics of this earth and our bodies. When he heals bodies, and when the Holy Spirit has healed bodies, you don't see him getting younger, but you see him getting functional, more functional, and pains and causes of pains are healed for that age that they are, you know, that their body is. So when we rebuild this planet, I think that we will rebuild it in that manner, in that things will be done in a proper order and time within the physical rules that he set for the earth and in the solar system here. So I look forward to it. I would like to be involved in that, but I certainly want to have the architect there, you know, because we have made so many blunders without knowing what we were doing.
I've never heard it really put that way, the architect, and that's exactly who he is, and that's a great way to look at it. Yes, with the architect and king at the same time running the show. It's going to be, I think it's just going to be amazing. I really do. I look forward to it.
I just wish we could skip what is coming and get on with it. I know there's a purpose and a plan for what has to happen between now and then, and I'm sad for those that are going to suffer in that. But anyway, my wish is that it had come quickly.
Yeah, it, It sure looks like we're, you know, the name of this show is Acceleration Radio, because I just believe we're accelerating towards that period of time. I think we're in the birth pangs. We're not in the 7 years yet, in my opinion, but we are in the birth pangs. I mean, with all the earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars, famines and pestilence and troublesome times, I mean, we're here. I mean, we are absolutely here, in my opinion.
Sounding like an Art Bell fan, we're in the quickening, aren't we?
Yeah, we are in the quickening, definitely. Definitely in the quickening.
Yeah. Well, then the only thing I can say to people is the most important thing is to have your salvation in order, to wherever they are, to sign on with the Lord right now and say, look, I'm on your side. I give you permission to enter into my spirit, my soul, whatever I am, right, and guide me and protect me in this time. I mean, it's just people worrying about their electricity production, their food storage. Okay, certain amount of that is good, but you can't prepare for everything because you don't know what's going to happen to screw up what you've planned for. I mean, where you are, all your food may be useless because of an earthquake cracks open your stores and throws it out into the sea somewhere. You know, I don't know. The main thing is to be right with the Lord so that whether you live through up to the rapture or not, that he will provide for your needs, whatever they are. And I firmly believe that that is going to be more manifest now in the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the believers that are here on the earth now. I think we're going to see miracles increase.
I do too.
Use the Holy Spirit.
No, it's funny. I do too. I think as the enemy ramps up, we're going to see a lot of neat things from the Lord our way. Any closing thoughts? We got about a minute.
Closing thoughts.
That sort of was it. But anything else you want to add?
Yeah.
Website material or?
The one thing I think is to remember that we are not given over to the spirit of fear.
Yep.
Not fear. Plan, provide, educate friends and neighbors and family, but do not fear. Do not worry, because what you need will be given to you. And I know that when I was running in the desert in Australia from those that I escaped from in that Teller's program, when I was going to tell what was happening, I had one duffel bag and traveled with hippies from here to there and grew beard and long hair, and I knew that my needs were met by minor miracles almost every week.
Wow.
Food and shelter and whatever. And so I know that in this time, which is much worse for everyone, that we will get that help. All you got to do is ask for it.
Amen. Stan, it's been an absolute pleasure with you tonight, and just great conversation, great questions, and we were number one most of the time, slipped to number two, but thank you all for listening. Stan, it's really been a pleasure. Merry Christmas to you, sir, and to Holly, and all our best to you, and we will definitely have you back on as time progresses, and just been really a pleasure. Thanks so much.
My pleasure, Lynn. It's been good chatting with you. Loved it. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. God bless. Folks, this is Acceleration Radio. I am your intrepid host, L.A. Marzulli. We'll be back next week.